Blog Talk Radio.
Salivating at the mouth, south to east orange. Keep pouring that liquor, but nigga don't sleep on it. You'll be giving up your Jesus piece or your peace to pawn it. For legal fees in the penal dormant, screaming on the horn with about 30 years on your conscience. I'm watching brothers disappear, it's appalling. Some dudes had just only a year balling. Counterintelligence found a strange evidence. There we behind the wheel with heat on us, hanging with predicates. Position replaced in caging, so they got us caged in. Waves spinning like Mike Bibbins for new edition aging. I got families I'm feeding, cause my mans is bleeding. Every 5 seconds looking all directions. I come through prepared, I give them a call, I'm close, bring them guns downstairs.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Chilling with Cheese show. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Got a great show lined up for everybody. Just sit back, relax. We got some great issues we're going to bring up in the boxing world and entertainment. We're going to recap last weekend's fight card at the theater at Madison Square Garden, which I had attended, featuring Hank Lundy versus Terrence Crawford, and of course the young kid out of San Juan, Puerto Rico, Felix Verdejo, and he had quite a backing out there. So, yeah, it should be a great show. Also, we're going to talk about some of the upcoming fights. Of course, this coming weekend on HBO, they have a big card coming, and that'll have Saddam Ali going against Jesse Vargas. That should be a really interesting fight, and of course, you got Luis Ortiz going against Tony Thompson. The heavyweights are going to get it cracking. So it's going to be on a popping down at the D.C. Armory down in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Also, coming up, of course, we got big cards coming up in the near future. April 9th, of course, is Tim Bradley, Manny Pacquiao. That should be a great card. April 23rd, Triple G. Dominic Wade will get it cracking out in L.A. at Englewood at the Forum, along with Ramon Chocolatito Gonzalez. So that should be a pretty good night of boxing as well. So, yeah, if you want to hit the show up, 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. We'll go right to the callers right now, and we'll see what's going on. And hello, caller, you there? Hello, caller, you available?
Rob, is that you?
Yeah, that's Rob.
Oh, Rob, this is Eric. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Mr. 60 Minutes, this is Eric Duran coming out of Colorado. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother. Good to hear from you.
All right, man. What's been going on out there in the Rocky Mountain area?
Right now, the only two things going on is we have Mike Alvarado's return on March 19th in Houston, and we have Manny, and you said it was Timothy Bradley versus Manny Pacquiao. It's actually Manny Perez versus Jose Ramirez. That's
should right.
be the name of the card.
That's right. And if people don't know, Manny Perez is also one of Eric's close friends, and look forward to seeing him in action on that card April 9th at MGM, Las Vegas.
Yes.
So, yeah, it should be really great, man. What else you got going on out there?
Oh, well, as of now, Eric Duran and Chris Morris, we purchased our promoter's license for Underdogs Boxing, and we will co-promote a show on April 30th, and then June 18th,
wow,
we will officially promote our first own show as Underdogs Promotions.
That's great, man. That's great. And I remember a couple of months ago, you said that would be your goal for the new year. And, yeah, man, it's coming to light for you, man. I respect that.
You know, and also on March 19th, I'll be jumping in the ring, and I'll be a ring announcer for a card here in Denver, Colorado. So, I mean, my plate's full. As you know, as it comes to boxing.
That's great, man. I really appreciate you, you know, giving us the word and getting the word out there, you know, with all the things that you got going on. And how is Manny looking in training camp for his April 9th fight?
Manny's looking exceptional. And the thing about it is, at 140 pounds, Manny can train and Manny can eat. You know what I mean? He's going to hit 140 pounds with no problems. He's going to be, you know, 100% healthy. He's not going to kill himself to make weight. And I don't think Jose Ramirez has been around with this type of fighter. And when Manny starts going to the body in those later rounds, I think it's going to take it home on the scorecards.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good fight, man, against Ramirez. Of course, you know, another young star on that card, Oscar Valdez as well. What's your take on that young man? I really think he's a talented young man.
Well, he's a tremendous fighter. The only thing with him is it's the same thing like with Roman Gonzalez. These little guys, I mean, it took 40 fights before anyone who knew who Roman Gonzalez was. And I think that's the same thing that's going to happen with, you know, it might not take as long because Top Rank's pushing him, Top Rank's putting him on these big pay-per-view cards. But Oscar Valdez, talent-wise, tremendous fighter. Reminds me a lot of Leo Santa Cruz when he was coming up, but he might be a bigger puncher than Cruz was as far as one punch.
I was getting ready to say, I think Oscar may have a little bit more power, but that definitely should be a good test for him, of course. Now, of course, we got a month or so away from that big fight card. Of course, I will ask you, as far as Manny and Timothy Bradley, number one, who are you giving the edge to in that fight? And as far as if Manny were to win that fight, do you think that would be his last fight?
If Manny wins the fight, win or lose, I don't think it's his last fight. I really don't. I just think he's a fighter. You know, there's a difference between, you know, Mayweather getting to 49-0, making $100 million and saying, you know what, I've done what I needed to do with the sport. Manny Pacquiao never set out to break records. Manny Pacquiao set out to feed his family and be a fighter. And it's like Kobe Bryant. I mean, Kobe's going out this year, but I think he's more going out because the injuries, not because he doesn't want to play basketball anymore.
If
Manny Pacquiao gets injured, maybe he'll hang him up, but I don't think he hangs him up. I just don't. Now, as far as the fight, I'm going to do a complete 180. I thought Manny Pacquiao would win this fight easily when it was announced. I think Timothy Bradley wins the fight based on Teddy Atlas being able to come up with a game plan and being able to adjust during a fight.
Right, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Hey, would you mind sticking in for a little while?
I got all night for you, brother. Let's do it.
Yeah, because we got a lot of, supposedly we got a couple good young fighters coming in. Hopefully we'll have Michael Perez, who'll be on the fight card at Belasco tomorrow night.
Okay.
Out in L.A.
Yeah, Michael,
so hopefully
Angelo
he'll call
Perez,
in.
Right?
Yeah, that's right, out of the Brick City, Newark, New Jersey. And hopefully we'll have him calling. Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to talking to him. Hopefully I'll keep my fingers crossed, so hopefully they'll call back.
I'll definitely stay on though.
Yeah, and hopefully again we may have Calvin Ford calling in. He said maybe he can get Javante and talking about the April 1st card out here in D.C. So hopefully
that's a good card for Javante to be on, man. That's a real good card for him.
Yeah, I thought so too, man. I think it's some pretty interesting matchups on that fight card.
That Robert Easter, Argenis Mendes, man, that's a good fight. That's a real good fight.
I thought so too. I think so too, man. I don't. What's your take on Easter?
He's talented. He's flashy. You know, he has above average power. He definitely has above average hand speed. But with a lot of guys like that, hey man, sometimes when you take that step up too soon, they don't know how to handle it. So this is that big moment for him, that step up fight, and people are gonna realize whether he's the goods or he's just a dime of the dozen. You know.
That's right. That's right. And of course, I don't know if you caught any of that press conference yesterday, but what's your take on the whole Broner Mayweather? It seems like it's like a feud kind of lighting up. What do you think about that?
Hey, man, Mayweather created this villain type, you know, ego a long time ago, and Adrian Broner is just doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Adrian's okay. Playing for the cameras. He's playing for the media. He's trying to sell, you know, so people tune in and watch Bike TV. He understands mm-hmm. he's not on Showtime for this fight. I don't think there's any animosity, really. I think it's just too, you know, he knows his role right now. He knows he has to play the villain. He has to be cocky. And he's doing it good. You know what I mean? Now, if he loses, though, big problems. If Adrian Broner loses to Theo Payne, man, I don't see him coming back. I don't see him coming back from this.
Now, do you think Theophane has a chance in this fight? I mean, obviously he has a chance. What do you think his chances are as far as beating Broner?
I mean, I think it's an 80-20 fight in favor of Broner. You know, if Broner doesn't train 100% or Broner comes in and, you know, decides not to fight an Adrian Broner type fight and gives away some rounds, Theophane has a chance. But if Broner comes in 100% focused, man, I don't know if Theo Payne sees the final bout.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I don't know if you caught the HBO telecast last Saturday night with Hank Lundy going against Terrence Crawford. And I didn't know what to expect for that fight, but Terrence Crawford really impressed me because I didn't think he would take him out in four rounds. What's your take on that fight?
See, here's why I think Terrence Crawford is one of the greatest fighters of probably the last 3 years. When he retires, he'll go down in the same breath as Manny and Floyd. And here's why. He can fight with the switch. And what I mean by that is he can have the switch off and still win, but when he flips that switch on, it's time to go home and you don't have a chance. And that's why I think he's one of the great fighters of his generation.
Wow, that's big words. That's big words. I felt that in the first couple of rounds, Lundy seemed very aggressive. But as you stated, it seems like Terrence Crawford kind of, you know, waits his time out, and all of a sudden he hits you with that shot and kind of stuns you. And seems to me that I guess the question I have for you is, of course, as a people thinking that he may take on Provotnikov. What do you think the route he should go in the next fight?
Well, I mean, obviously, the goal in boxing is to win titles. So Victor Postol has the WBC title, which is, you know, recognized as the number one title in all of boxing. Everyone wants the green belt. So, I would go after Victor Postol first. You know what I mean? Ruslan Provotnikov is a great fight. If Ruslan beats someone before they fight, you know what I mean?
Right.
To build his name bigger than what it is. Obviously, if there's a report out there that Bob Arum in Top Rank will pay a good amount of money to see Crawford fight Timothy Bradley if Bradley beats Pacquiao. Now, regardless of who wins that fight, I would want to see Crawford fight the winner of that fight.
Yeah, that'd be a really good fight.
If you remember when we were at the Rios Bradley fight, mm-hmm. when Bradley was approached about Crawford, he wanted nothing of it. We all were there at the press conference. I know he just got out of a tough fight with Rios, but boy, he didn't look like he wanted anything to do with Crawford. He played the whole friendship card.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. You pointed out because that was going to be one of my next questions. Supposedly, they have a really good friendship, and that may be one of the questions as far as them having a fight. Do you think that it's more of Bradley not wanting a fight or just not messing up a friendship?
You know what? I don't think Crawford will give a shit about a friendship with anybody. I mean, they
I agree.
Crawford is a good dude. You know what I mean? But, man, Crawford has some thug in him. You know, Crawford comes from the streets.
Right.
Well, hey, if beat up my friend means putting millions in my bank account and setting my family up for life, there ain't no friendship. And I think Crawford thinks that same way.
You know, you got a great. And I want to give you a little sidebar at being at the fight. I don't know what it was. I think the dude brought half of Omaha, Nebraska with him. Because I don't know if the TV does it any justice, Eric, but this dude had a lot of fans at the Garden, and he had as many fans as Verdejo. And, you know, he's a Puerto Rican guy,
yeah,
you know,
in
New York City.
And that's when I found out that, you know, it was at the theater and not the actual, you know, Madison Square Arena. That's why I was kind of upset. Because if you're trying to build a star, man, he doesn't need to be fighting in the theater. You need to put him in the main venue. You know what I mean?
Right.
When he fights, you know, I've been to two of his fights in Omaha. He put 12,000 to 13,000 people at the CenturyLink Arena.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
But like I said, even though he's a top 10 fighter in the world, man, he still has a large fan base to appeal to. And he keeps winning.
Yeah.
He beats some big names. He should be a pay-per-view fighter. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
No, you're right, man. I think the only thing, and I think we talked about this before, how his demeanor and his attitude is so calming. I think, believe it or not, that may hurt him as far as pay-per-view value because he's so quiet and unassuming. But as far as, like you saying, getting in the ring, he is ferocious as they come. And I would love to see him. Now, I'll tell you this. I mean, supposedly the theater holds, you know, 4,500, 5,000 people. It was packed. It was sold
exactly.
out. And I think they could have gotten 10,000 or 12,000 in the main arena if they chose to. But
yeah.
Yes. But, man, I tell you, it was so many of his fans. I mean, it was so many beefs going on in the stands, man, between his people and Philly people. It was fantastic, actually. It was no fighting, but it was so much trash talk.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Well,
and
I've seen Hank Lundy. He's been talking about it, you know, recently on social media. But my whole point is, you know, if I'm rooting for a fighter and there's someone else rooting for the opposing fighter, as long as that opposing fighter was respectful leading up to the fight, I'm not going to say nothing but, you know, may the best man win. But when you're flapping
That's
your
right.
gums, people see that. And if
That's
you're
right.
flapping your gums and you're getting your ass handed to you, I don't give a fuck who's in the crowd. You flap
That's
your
right.
gums, you got your ass kicked, handle it. If you don't want that, be respectful at the weigh-ins. Be respectful at the press conferences. Shake his hand and say, may the best man win. And that will go for all the fans. All the fans will see that, and all the fans will have the respect.
That's
but when
right.
you're disrespectful,
right.
don't expect people to respect you back.
Absolutely. And again, all the people out there, I see I got, you know, some people listening in. If you'd like to call in, 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. Again, I'm supposed to have a few people call in. I hope they, you know, still call in. I know Calvin and his crew was training down in Baltimore City.
They're too busy winning bouts, man. Calvin ain't got
I know,
time.
Man.
They're too busy winning bouts.
Hey, but he called me yesterday. He said he going to have the whole crew on the phone tonight. So I'm looking for Malik Hoggins and Javante and Chuck Simpson, all of them to be on the line, hopefully. And hopefully Michael Perez will call the show. But, yeah, man, I don't of course, coming up this Saturday, get your take on Luis Ortiz against Tony Thompson, the big heavyweights getting a pop. And what's your take on that fight?
Man, it seems like Luis Ortiz is the redheaded stepchild, man. No one wants to fight him. The WBA ain't even sanctioning this fight as a title fight. And, man, Luis Ortiz is just a fighter, man. He goes in there, he knocks people out, and he goes home and says, you know what? I'll fight in 6 more weeks. Let's do it again. You know what I mean? It just seems like it goes back to the whole Terrence Crawford thing is outspoken. You know, he's not putting on a show as far as for the media and stuff like that. And I think, you know, his talent gets lost in, you know, the shuffle. And people are missing out on some exciting fights from Luis Ortiz. And if I'm in the heavyweight, you know, in the top 10, I think he's the last guy I want to fight. I think he's the last
right.
guy any of these heavyweights want to see.
Yeah, man. It'll be very interesting to see what will happen. I think it's a, like we stated in a couple shows ago, it's a, the heavyweights are starting to sneak back up. It's starting to get really interesting at the in that division. Who do you envision as being the king of that division in the next year or two?
Oh, well, the king of the division in 2 years will actually win a title on April 9th when Anthony Joshua stops Charles Martin.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? Hey, Anthony Joshua is the truth. But here's another guy people need to look out for. Guy's name is Joseph Parker out of New Zealand, I believe.
Okay.
Joseph Parker is every bit as big, fast, and athletic as Anthony Joshua. But since he's from, you know, New Zealand, he doesn't have a promoter, you know, had a great amateur background. Them two guys, that could be, you know, the biggest fight in the heavyweight division in the next 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
If Wilder goes to Russia and Rocky Balboa's Povotnik,
right.
Hey, there's some exciting fights on the table on the heavyweight division.
That's right, man. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Of course, Saddam Ali against Jesse Vargas on the card this Saturday night, which I think that's a really interesting matchup. Of course, Jesse has been on a world tour trying to get Timothy Bradley back in the ring. Well, what do you think about it? I think Saddam Ali is a pretty good fighter, man. What do you think about that?
I think he's above average. I've seen him live a couple times. I don't think he's as good as maybe some people thought he was going to be. I think he leveled off. Maybe that could have been due to injuries or due to inactivity, so we'll see. Hopefully Jesse Vargas is 100% focused on this fight. Because if he is, I think he has an easy time with Saddam Ali. His work rate, him being at that level already of fighting guys like Timothy Bradley and being on that big stage like that, I think that carries him to an easy victory over Saddam Ali.
So you know what, man? I don't know because I heard a couple people have picked Saddam Ali in that fight, and I just don't know. As you stated, I don't know how Jesse's doing. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 fight. You know what I mean? That's a head and tails coin toss fight on paper. You know what I mean? So
right.
If people pick Saddam Ali, it's not like they're going, you know, out of the way to pick an upset. You know what I mean?
That's
if
right.
If you go to Vegas, it's probably a pick 'em fight or someone's plus 125 or you're not winning nothing.
That's
you know what
right.
I mean? So a lot of people are going to pick Ali, but that's like saying, hey, let's go flip a coin. You get heads, I get tail. There's not much of a difference.
Wow. I don't moving forward, I don't know if you have noticed or you probably know about return of an old vet getting in the ring, Zab Judah. And I don't know what to expect from him at this point. He's been inactive for so long. What do you think Zab has anything left?
I'll share an inside story. So when I launched 60 Minutes Boxing, actually launched with the interview with Zab Judah. I was in Vegas for the weekend. I know his trainer personally. He's from Colorado. So I was behind the scenes watching him spar. The Zab Judah that we fell in love with, you know, the 90s and the 2000s, it's not that Zab Judah anymore. I've seen guys who were, one guy was 10-1, one guy was 3-0. I mean, they were good fighters, but, I mean, when they took it to Zab, I mean, Zab didn't have much left in the tank. And there's a reason why Zab isn't fighting. It's not because there's no options. It's because, A, he's overpricing himself, and, B,
right.
I think he understands that, hey, man, I can't beat these A-level guys anymore. He's fighting Josh Torres. I know who Josh Torres is. I've seen Josh Torres fight since he was a debuter in New Mexico. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like 3 or 4 levels below what Zab Judah is used to fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's the type of fights he needs right now.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Well, not unfortunate, but as you stated, he's been in so many ring wars, and he's fought, you know, the best of the best throughout his career, and he's always been a warrior, win, lose, or draw.
Here's what people don't realize. Guys with fast twitch muscles and, you know, guys who are fast and counterpunchers,
mm-hmm.
those guys tend to fade because they lose, you know, the ability to see what's coming beforehand and react. They lose that reaction time.
That reflex. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Guys,
good point.
You know, guys who can punch and guys who are bangers, all they need to do is stand in the center of the ring and feel it. But guys who,
right.
you know, guys who rely on, you know, fast twitch muscles and stuff like that, stuff
mm-hmm.
goes away. Man, they're not the same fighter anymore.
That's right.
You know, you're
that's
seeing
a
guy like Roy Jones Jr., my favorite fighter, you know, people associate me as a Mayweather fan, which I am,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I didn't fall in love with the sport because of Mayweather. It was, you know,
that's
a guy
right.
like Roy Jones Jr. And,
right.
you know, seeing him when he fought, you know, Eric Lucas in 97, he played a basketball game and they won a world title compared to
right.
his fight now, you can see the reaction isn't there anymore. The hand speed isn't there anymore. You know, and
yeah.
that's the thing with these fast twitch. That's why for a guy like Mayweather to stay at the top this long and to adjust his game, that's what people don't, you know, they don't give him the credit for that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Now, it's funny you say that because I happened to watch a clip today of maybe, you know, one of my all-time favorite fighters, Sugar Ray Leonard, when he fought Terry Norris. And at that time, Sugar
yes.
Ray was 35, 36, but he was, you know, a shell of the fighter that he was. And you can see some of the time when you knew that Sugar Ray would pull the trigger, he just didn't. It just wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Even though Terry Norris was a really good fighter, that wasn't a fighter that Sugar Ray Leonard would have hesitated to beat when he was, you know, on top of his game.
Exactly, exactly. But it's the same reason why, you know, like a guy like Miguel Cotto can fight so long and still compete is because he never had to rely on stuff like that. You know, he had the skills, he knew what to do, but he's also a smart technical fighter at the best, you know what I mean? But as far as his hand speed and all that stuff, it's still the same. You know what I mean? His power
yeah.
is still the same. But he's had this longevity, but he doesn't really rely on one thing.
And you know what's – and one thing about – and I've never was the biggest Mayweather fan, but what I really respected about him was his work ethic, even when he was not getting ready for a fight. And
exactly.
I think that was one of the things that really helped him – prolong his career is that he kept his tools sharp, and when it was time to go to training camp, hey, he was already hitting around ground running. So, yeah, you're absolutely
yeah,
right in that aspect.
He went to camp in shape. You know, he didn't go to camp to get into shape. He went to camp already in shape.
Right. Yeah, that's true, man. Now, I'm going to get your take on this because he's one of my favorite fighters, and he'll be – fighting April 23rd out in Englewood, Gennady Golovkin going against Dominic Wade, of course, on that card is Roman Gonzalez, who those two guys, I mean, for what it's worth, when these two young men are on the card, man, it's electric in the arena and it's sold out. What's your take on Gennady getting past Dominic Wade? And if he does, do you think it's a chance that he will meet up with Canelo if he beats Amir Khan?
I don't know if you've been on social media lately, but the more they talk about it, the more it just seems like hold on, Canelo has no interest in the fight, in my opinion.
So you wow
yeah, so
okay
he has no
okay.
interest in the fight. You know what I mean? He keeps saying I'm not a middleweight, blah blah blah. But in reality, when they on fight night, he weighs more than Triple G does when they step in the ring.
Oh my, absolutely. He's coming in the ring at 170-something.
You know? And he's not a middleweight. Well, then why are you fighting for the middleweight title then?
Right.
You know, if you just wanted to say, hey, we're having a catchweight bout, you know, for, you know, generations to each other, that's fine. But don't get up here and say I'm the middleweight champion then. You know, respect the middleweights. because I'll
and you
tell
know
you
what?
One thing. If Dominic Wade beats Triple G, I'll bet everything I have that Canelo will fight Dominic Wade.
Yep, I agree. I agree. And
you know
made,
what I mean?
You made a great, yeah, and that's a great point that you made. It's like the middleweight division, even, you know, for the last 100 years, has been one of the glamour divisions in boxing. You know, from Sugar Ray Robinson, Marvin Hagler, you know, these guys have made that division to what it was, and Carlos Monzon. So, you know, it does that weight class, sort of an injustice when a guy says, well, I want to win the title, but I'm not a middleweight, but you come in the ring at 170 pounds. So I don't get that.
You know, it's all politics. It's all politics. But the WBC does not care, because when Canelo fights for their belt, they get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Oscar De La Hoya was a WBC champion, and he's Hispanic, like the Sulemans are. So they have the good boy system, the buddy boy system, and they're not going to tell him no. You know, people.
And which is ironic.
Assume,
yeah.
Here's what I liked about Floyd Mayweather years ago is when he came back and fought Marquez, what people don't realize was there wasn't a title on the line. It was he wanted to fight the best fighter out there, regardless
that's
of who the champion was. And that's what boxing should be about. Man, you know, if I lined up a guy with no title and he beat the top four guys in the world and said, fuck the title, does that make him any less appealing to the fans? No.
Right.
A title
right.
just
that's true.
Around your waist. But if
that's
you
true.
Beat everybody, then they're going to still say you're the man. And that
that's
used to
right.
be the ring bell. Before Oscar and Top Rank, or Oscar and Golden Boy took over the ring, that's what the ring bell meant. It didn't mean anything but that you beat the best in the division, and that's why it was always the most sacred bell to have.
That's right. Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'll hold out hope because I'm a fan. Actually, I'm a fan of both because I really like Canelo. And, of course, I like Triple G as well. So I'll hold out hope, providing they get past their fights, because, you know, everybody who gets in that ring has a chance. So, you know, I don't want to take Dominic Wade lightly or Amir Khan, who's a fast dude. So I want to give them the respect they deserve. But, you know, everybody's pointing to Golovkin and Canelo as two guys that should meet, you know, at the towards the end of the year.
Yeah, well, they should have been meeting right now. That's the problem.
That's right.
I mean, how many defenses do you need? How many build-up fights do you need? This is like when Roy and Bernard were supposed to fight 15 years ago. And
that's
it's
right.
The same telecast, different cities, and it never happened. It's like, you know, this is why politics and promoters have ruined, you know, the sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of stuff like this. If two guys are the same weight and they're the best in the world, nothing should get in the way. You know what I mean?
No.
There's too much money to be made for, you know, a silly thing like I'm a 155-pounder. You know, if I was Golovkin, I would do this. I would say, what? You know, you're a 155-pounder? Cool. My next fight, I'm fighting at 154 pounds.
Right.
And so when he tells Triple G, or when he tells Canelo, hey, I can make 155, then what's Canelo's excuse?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you know,
he said he would come
down
to 154 to fight Mayweather, so do it for Canelo, because it goes both ways.
Right. But I think in this fight, Canelo and Amir Khan, and I don't know if people realize, at least in my opinion, Eric, I think this is a fight that has a grand scope in boxing. Because you have two of the biggest audiences in boxing. You have, of course, the Mexican population, and you also have the UK population. And I think this fight is going to be really huge. Of course, it's Mexican Independence Weekend, of course, which is always a great weekend out in Las Vegas. If you never, by the way, sidebar, if you've never been out there during this weekend, please go out and enjoy yourself. And
hey man,
I went to
Vegas when Mayweather fought Canelo, and the Canelo fans were electric, bro.
Yes.
Up and down the strip, it was pandemonium. You know what I mean? So you're exactly right when you say Cinco de Mayo weekend in Vegas for a big fight. the electricity is out of this world.
Oh, man, you know what? I love, you know, I mean, and I wrote a short blog post this past week about the passion of, you know, Puerto Rican fans, and it's the same way with Mexican fans, but it's more, far more Mexican fans, of course, because of the population, of course, but, man,
yeah.
You can't get any two more passionate fan bases than Mexicans and Puerto Ricans. I have a lot of respect for them. It's like they really take care of their own. So, yeah, man, if you get a chance to go out there and enjoy that, and, of course, Amir Khan will have, you know, his following as well. So it should be a great festive weekend out there, man.
They call him the Khan Army. So, yeah, they'll be there.
That's right.
I've been to Amir Khan fight. They travel.
Yes, they do. And, you know, all respect to those two guys as well. I don't. What's your take on Errol Spence? Because he's one of my young rising favorites in the game. What's your take on that young man fighting April 16th against Chris Algieri?
I got a man crush on Errol Spence. I ain't afraid to admit it. Man, they don't call him the truth for no reason. But
that's right.
Here's what I love about boxing, man. It don't matter how mm-hmm. good you are. Sometime or later, you're going to get tested. Now, I don't know
if
Algieri will be the test, but, hey, like I said, I think Errol Truth is and I think, you know, with the right – if the right moves are made and the right paths are taken, he's going to be a world champion for many years to come.
I agree, man. And do you think he'll have the problem as a Triple G or a Terrence Crawford where some fighters just may not want a part of him in the ring? Do you think he will have that problem?
I don't. And the reason why is because he's still young. So people are going to think, well, I can beat this guy. You know, and people are going to want to fight him now because he is young. They're not going to want to fight him in 3 or 4 years when he matures and he's out of
his head. No, absolutely not.
So,
I don't
think he's going to have that issue. And, you know, my biggest thing, though, and I'll talk about this more in the coming weeks on my website is, you know, mm-hmm. man, I don't see PBC and Al Haymon being around much longer, man. I really don't. And what's going to happen when I'm actually working on an article right now about what happens. And it's all hypothetical because it won't happen. But, you know, if Al Haymon and PBC were to fold and all the fighters went into a draft pool, I had Errol Spence. He goes number one in my draft of all 200.
Oh,
fighters.
Man, I agree, man. I think he's the best one on PBC. I think he's number one.
And that's no disrespect to Keith Thurman, you know, Adrian Broner, Deontay Wilder, but we're talking about a young kid who has, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of mileage to grow, but, man, he can be something special.
And you talked about, of course, Al Haymon and Premier Boxing Champions, and I'm almost in line with you, man. I don't know how long it's going to last because – even in the last fight, they didn't seem like they had the promotion like they did. And you wrote a great article about it before, like the promotion aspect was down. What do you think at this point, every bout that he's giving, he's just losing money? Or you think
The numbers speak for themselves. It's just not. Mm-hmm. See, people keep saying, oh, you're not supporting Al Haymon. You know what? I supported Al Haymon when he first started this. I love free boxing, but that doesn't mean it's going to work, you know, and that doesn't mean I got to be a fanboy and not speak the truth. I have a job to do if I'm going to be a journalist, and I got to, you know, speak the truth. And the truth is they're losing money. You know what I mean? And that's not me saying they're losing money. Go look at the reports. Go look at the Waddle and Reed SEC filings. They're losing money. And in a business, when you lose money, you fold. You know what I mean?
That's true.
The concept was fucking amazing. But that didn't mean it was going to work. And now, like, the whole thing with ESPN. So you're telling me that you got 200-plus fighters and you can't put on a show? And you're telling me that Keith Thurman gets hurt and you can't replace it, but Conor McGregor's opponent pulls out 2 weeks before the fight? And they're still having a pay-per-view? Something's wrong. There's cracks in the foundation. There's writing on the wall. And people just need to realize it. Hey, it was great. It sounded awesome, but it just wasn't realistic.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as my top 10, yours probably is a little different from mine, but I don't have any, and it just worked out that way for me. I don't have any of his fighters in my top 10 because they all seem to be really good fighters, but none. I mean, when you got Leo Santa Cruz and, of course, Errol Spence and Keith Thurman and Sean Porter.
And Danny Garcia.
It's some really it's some damn good fighters, man. But it just seems like that next step to get on a pay-per-view card, that I don't see anyone on there, do you?
That's the problem. You have to build those guys. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to fight him on ESPN and I'm going to fight him on Fox, but there's not going to be no commercials. So either you turn in that night or you don't know who he is. Keith Thurman should be a star. Leo Santa Cruz is a star. He should be a pay-per-view fighter. He shouldn't be fighting on – well, he fought on Showtime, but he fought at the Honda Center. He should be fighting in the Staples Center every time out, putting 17,000 people on there. You know, but no one even knew Santa Cruz was fighting. Because they're not promoting these fights anymore. They're overpaying the fighters. They're overpaying the fighters. They're not promoting the fighters. No one's buying commercial spots. And they're losing money. And they know it. That's the thing is they know they're losing money. So they can't promote the fighters. That's why ESPN, there's no ESPN shows because there's no commercial programming. And no one wants to talk about it, though.
Wow, that's crazy. And I don't know what to expect from down the line because I haven't seen any, as far as after the Chris Algieri, Errol Spence fight card, have you seen any upcoming dates where they've nailed in some fighters as of yet? I have not seen any.
Didn't see, and that's the problem, is they announce the fight and then it's just dead air. You know what I mean? That's great. Announce the fight. But look at Canelo and Khan. Canelo and Khan do a three-day tour. You know, they hit New York.
That's right.
They hit London. That builds the fight, man. Keith
That's
Thurman
right.
and Sean Porter were fighting Connecticut. Well, go to ESPN with Stephen A. Smith. It's an interview.
And you know what's wild about that, man? I don't know. I don't get the whole night. And you make a great point. If you're going to go to Connecticut, you're right there. You may as well go to ESPN, the worldwide leader. But for that fight to even take place in Connecticut, I thought it was just the wrong venue and the wrong location.
Exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, here's the thing with Taman is, when another promoter announces a card, Taman automatically wants to do a card too. And here's the thing, though. So the day, they were supposed to fight, what, March 5th?
Right.
I think, okay, so who's fighting on March 5th? It's not boxing. Conor McGregor's fighting March 5th in Vegas. So why would you put a fight on March 5th in Connecticut when, A, you already have the HBO card, and, B, you already have the UFC card? It was stupid. They have a lot of good business minds behind them, but they don't have a lot of creativity behind them.
You know what? It's ill-timed, and it seems like a lot of their events work out that way. What do you think as far, and you make a great point, as far as the timing of that fight, is that something that they're going to have to look into as far as helping to reload, if they can reload and start over, but do you think they will call on Mayweather to help them out or come back in a grander scale as far as promoting fights?
I don't think they can. I mean, they had a $500 million budget, which I think they've already ran through about 350 of it. So where do they get the money from? Because unless they run out of the 500, Al Heyman's not going to spend his own money, and no one in their right mind is going to give him money when he's already lost 500. And people say, "Well, you lose money to make it." Well, he's losing money, but he's not really building anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, if the numbers were getting better and there was some, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel, fine. But it's just a tunnel, and no one wants to just walk into a tunnel.
That's right. I agree, man. I don't. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that, but I want to switch gears to another top pound-for-pound fighter who'll be making his way back to the ring later on this month, and that's Andre Ward, which, in my opinion, Eric, I think will be a far tougher fight than most people think. What's your take on him getting back in the ring, and do you think he'll have any ring rust?
Well, first of all, Andre Ward has always been one of my favorite fighters. So whenever fights, you know, personally, you know, it's something I love. Like you said, Sullivan Barrera is no pushover.
No, he's not.
The last time Andre Ward had a challenger like this, man, what was it, 2008 when he fought Carl Frost?
And a Super 6. Yeah, and a Super 6.
You know
that's
what I
right.
mean? And with the injuries and the age, we're going to learn a lot about Andre Ward. And win or lose, I mean, even if he wins, unless he wins spectacular, if he has a bad showing against Barrera, that Kovalev fight doesn't look too good.
And see, you know what? I really want to see that fight because I think that will pose an interesting test for Ward going against someone like Sergey. What do you think his chances are against a boxer like Ward with supreme skill? Of course, I think Sergey's boxing skill is underrated. What's your take on that matchup?
Very underrated. People see him knocking everyone out, but what they don't realize is he's just not knocking these guys out with one punch. He's beating
That's
on these guys for 5, 6, 7 rounds because he's able to put his jab on you, and when his jab touches you, then he lays that big right hand on you. That takes skills.
Yes.
You know, he's just not in close fights and then he knocks you out. He's beating the crap out of you before he knocks you out because he's highly skilled. You know what I mean?
I agree.
If Ward wins and the Kovalev fight is signed, hey man, it doesn't matter who wins the fight. It doesn't matter. That's what boxing's all about. The two best guys in the division fighting each other. You know what I mean? If Ward wins, shit, USA bring home the gold. You know what I mean? But if Kovalev beats him, Kovalev, that's a bad boy right there.
Yeah, you know, I always laugh because when I think about Kovalev, he's kind of, he has a weird sense of humor, but he's a no-nonsense kind of dude. And I think, as you say, that straight right is unbelievable. But what I'm really impressed with, and I saw it up close against Najat Mohammadi, is his footwork. And I think Bernard Hopkins brought that to the light as well, that his footwork is underrated, and people thought, you know, 5 or 6 fights ago, he was a glorified Kelly Pavlik. But I said back then he was better than Kelly Pavlik. They both had great power, but I think, you know, to say he was a glorified Kelly Pavlik was way offline.
Well, just look at the punch he knocked Bernard down with. It was a pullback counter right hand. And if your feet if you don't move your feet at the right time, you're just catching him with a shoulder punch. You know what I mean? Or an arm punch.
Yep.
But
that's right.
His ability to sit back and make Bernard miss and come over the top and have enough power to put Bernard down, that tells you, let alone, not only can he punch, but A, he's skilled, and C, he's an all-around great fighter.
Right. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what will happen down the line, but as I said before, everybody listening, I'm still waiting on Calvin Ford and those guys, and I think Mike Perez is running a little late. So if you had something to do, Eric, I appreciate you coming on. I know I want to keep you this long waiting for these guys, but hopefully they'll still call in.
Man, it's March, so it's softball season, man. So I'm at the cages. I just pulled up to the cages for team hitting. So, man, I have to let you go. But, man, I appreciate you always bringing me on, brother. I really do.
No, I appreciate you coming through, man. I'll get back with you soon.
Sounds good, brother. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, that was Eric Duran out in Colorado. Really good dude. I met Eric when I was out doing a Timothy Bradley, Brandon Rios fight out at Thomas & Mack in Las Vegas, and became pretty good friends. And Yeah, he's a really good dude. But, yeah, he brought up some great points. And if anybody like to call in, talk about it, we still have some time left in the show. 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. I'm still hoping that we get a couple of young fighters calling in. But, yeah, it's an exciting time in boxing. Next couple months anyway, we'll get it, you know, really heated up for later on in the year. And I'm really interested in, you know, we talked about Pacquiao and Bradley 3. And my gut feeling tells me that this will be Manny's last fight. Of course, he has had some out-of-the-ring issues. If you didn't hear, recently he spoke against, you know, gay marriage and a few other things. And his main endorsement contract, Nike, expired his contract, or, you know, let him go from the contract because of his, I would call him religious views. Man, of course, everyone knows Manny is a very spiritual guy, and you know, his belief is, homosexuality and, you know, man and woman, and he's stuck by his guns. I give him that, whether it's right or wrong in your eyes. So still wish him all the best. Everyone who's ever come in contact with Manny knows he's a genuinely, you know, wonderful guy. So he did, as he stated after on his Twitter accounts and Facebook, that he meant no harm to anyone. So hopefully all parties can get past that. And also, we were talking about Triple G, and I'm really looking forward to that fight card. I'm going to be out there in L.A., and I'm looking forward to watching that. I think I said in a couple of blog posts and Twitter tweets and everything else that that was the best crowd that I went to, you know, covering a fight, was at the Forum in L.A. That was a great night when, of course, he beat Willie Monroe, and Juan Gonzalez will, you know, was on that same fight card. Gonzalez will be taking on McWilliams Arroyo. I forgot Gonzalez's flyweight title, WBC, so should be another great night. Ironically, on that same night over in the Philippines, Nonito Donaire will be back in action. And I had Nonito Donaire in my fight of the year last year over in Puerto Rico, which I thought was a fantastic. It was a war, and both of those guys just went at it really hard. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back after such a brutal fight. And he had a split decision win, so we'll look forward to that. But yeah, man, it's been a really interesting time. We'll backtrack to last Saturday night at the theater in Madison Square Garden. Cold night, but it was a really good night of boxing. And I wrote a recent brief blog post about my interaction with some of the Puerto Rican fans that night, and it was really heartwarming to see how they feel about their own, and, you know, with the way, you know, the flags and the, you know, the colorful outfits, and you just really got a sense that they were really proud people, and they were really engaged in what Felix Verdejo was doing. And yeah, when he came out, man, the crowd erupted. And you know, he wasn't able to put on the show like he wanted, but he did his thing, got his rounds in, and he'll move on to the next, you know, the next fight. So supposedly they'll be having a fight in June, I believe. I'm not sure, but of course, Top Rank will put out that information as soon as possible. But yeah, it was a pretty good night. Sean Monahan out of New York had a large crowd as well. So, Sean, if you're out there, feel free to call in, brother. 718-305-6496. And, yeah, I'm still waiting on a few callers. I'm going to you know, stick in, and hopefully they will, you know, give me a call. A few guests I had lined up, I know they're all in training. Michael Perez fights tomorrow night at the Belasco Theater out in L.A. That's a Golden Boy fight card, Oscar De La Hoya. So, you know, if he doesn't come through, I totally understand. I know his representative called me and said that he was, you know, in training. So if he doesn't come through, then, you know, we totally understand. We'll get back into him another time. And you have Gervonta Davis and Malik Hawkins. They're getting ready for their upcoming bout. So they're in training as well. So, yeah, if they come through, they come through. If they don't, then we'll catch them at another time. But, yeah, while we have the free time, if anyone would like to call in, I see the callers out. I mean, you know, people listening, you like to call in, please call in. 718-305-6496. 718-305. We can have the show open up for a little while and talk about basketball, football, boxing, MMA, whatever you guys would like to talk about. Of course, MLB's training camp is open, and, you know, a lot of teams have great expectations this time of the year, and who knows what's going to happen, and that's the best part because everybody has hopes of winning that World Series title, so we'll see what will happen with that. It was OKC and Golden State are in action tonight on TNT. OKC blew a lead against Golden State this past week, so they're looking to bounce back with that. They lost last night, gave away a 20-point lead to the Clippers, but Golden State 54-5. Steph Curry may be back in action. Ironically, they're only four games ahead of San Antonio, and San Antonio's had a marvelous season, man. It's unbelievable. They're 51-9. So they're also on TNT tonight against New Orleans Hornets. So, yeah, that should be a good night of basketball over on TNT. So if you want to call in and talk about that, of course, Steph Curry is, I guess at this point, the leading vote-getter for MVP again. He's having a marvelous season and had a running Twitter, not debate, but interaction with friends about old school and new school. And a couple of my friends pointed out that they felt that Steph Curry could play in any era. And, of course, there's sort of an ongoing, not feud, but, you know, back and forth between Isaiah and Oscar Robertson talking about the older players. And, you know, I guess, and I heard a lot of people calling on shows and they're kind of dismissing how good Oscar Robertson and Isaiah Thomas were. And that goes to show you, you know, you got these 30-year-olds or 25-year-olds who have no nodding acquaintance of reality when it comes to basketball. But, you know, if you haven't gotten a chance, and I made a point that I feel Oscar Robertson is one of the players who, at 6'5", is a big guard, could play in today's basketball and be an all-star because of the training that they have now. Of course, Oscar would have that same training, but I think his natural gifts would make him an all-star. And, you know, we went back and forth and had one guy tell me that he didn't think Steph Curry would be an all-star, well, wouldn't be as effective 15 to 20 years ago with the NBA rules allowing you to be more physical in the open court, which is a great, you know, great point. When you got hand, and he's a slight guy, even though you look back and Allen Iverson came in the league towards the end of the whole hand checking thing, and he was able to be effective. He caught his bumps and bruises, but nevertheless, he was extremely effective at a slight build. So, yeah, I don't know if an '80s era would allow Steph Curry or '80s early '90s era would allow Steph Curry to you know, have it do as much damage as he does, because once he gets in that lane, you know, he's going to have big boys ready to knock him down, not just give him a little love shove. They're ready to put him on the ground. So it's an interesting topic to talk about. But nevertheless, he may be one of the best shooters of all time. It's hard-pressed to think of a better shooter, you know. So look forward to seeing what they're going to do as far as that 72-10 Bulls record. So that'll be interesting to see if they can get to that mark and surpass it. But yeah, nevertheless, if you'd like to call in, 718-305-6496. 718-305-6496. Had read a couple interesting articles this past weekend about the relationship between the NBA and what they're doing as far as having the players as more of an advertisement and a more of a boost for the league than the teams itself. Because back during the day, you had teams promoting the NBA. Now you have individuals. That's been that way for a long time now, but will it help the NBA or go more global to have teams elevated to a status where they're promoting the league? I don't know. I think if you're going global with basketball, I think the individuals kind of help that more. If you have a Steph Curry and, you know, his brand is all over Europe, or whether it be Europe or anywhere, China, wherever it may be, kind of, it will stand out. He'll make that Under Armour brand even bigger than it is now, which, you know, teams, you know, people all over the world may not identify with, you know, L.A. Clippers team. You know, everyone knows around the world knows the Lakers or Celtics or Knicks, but will they identify with a Golden State team, or will they identify with a Steph Curry as, you know, the player alone? So that's an interesting topic to bring up. But, yeah, 718-305-6496. We still got a couple minutes left in the show. So, yeah, it's been a pretty cool week covering my first fight of the year. So I'm looking to have a few things that I'm working on to try to increase the whole situation as far as Chilling with Cheese, but should be great. Carl, are you there?
Yo, what up?
What's up? This Tone out of Las Vegas. What's up, Mr. XGFR? How you doing, man?
Oh, we cool in the game, man. Hey, I'm just, you know, said is leaving a business meeting, but I had to come through and show my homeboy some love, man. Work.
I appreciate it, man. How you been doing?
I've been cool, man. You know, hey, I like to apologize to everybody. I'm sorry I couldn't make it to New York. You know what I'm saying? I had, like, little flight difficulties with a certain airline, but, you know, so I like to apologize, but it's all good, man. It's all good.
Hey, it's no problem. I talked to Snoop and Kevin Hart, and they said the Soul Plane will be back in motion. So don't worry about it, man. It's all good.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Word, man. That's what's up. You know what I'm saying? Flight NWA.
Straight hey, up, what you got going on now? What you got going on out in Sin City, man?
Ah, man, you know, the grind is steady popping, man. I just got a whole lot going on right now, and it will be presented to the world probably this summer. And that's all I can really say, man. But I just recently ran into Zula and at the club, and we talked about his upcoming fight. My man still looked like the same Zab that we've been seeing, man. I mean, he's still in great shape. He seemed like he's real focused on his fight, because it's either a hit or miss. And, you know what I'm saying? Big shout out to Zab, man. Super Zula, man. One of my favorites, man. And, You know what I'm saying? And I'm just ready to see him get back in the game.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught earlier, Eric Duran was on the line, and he said that same thing pretty much, that this is a hit or miss for Zab at this point. If he loses this fight, and, you know, his career, you know, by all accounts will be over. But you saying he's looking pretty good and he's prime and ready to go?
Yeah, he's still, man. The funny thing about Zab is that he's a swift, slick southpaw. And he comes out flashy. He comes out. We all know how he comes out. But I don't know what happens, like, in the middle rounds. He can win the first five rounds easy. But it's like those middle rounds, and then he started coming back up in the later rounds. And that's basically that's how he always been, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can go back to the fight with Vern Forrest, I think, if I'm correct.
Okay.
You can go to the Floyd fight. Look, he was killing Floyd. Let's keep it real. You know what I'm saying? The Danny Garcia fight. Most of his fights end up like that. I don't know why, but he looked like we actually had a conversation, like a serious conversation. So just by him talking to me and saying this and that, man, I was like, wow, okay. Okay, I see you. I just want to see you back on top. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And the thing about Zab that a lot of guys, you know, regular guys like about him, and he seems like he's one of us. I mean, you know, he's, of course, a Brooklyn kid, so, but, I mean, he's very, you know, down-to-earth dude, and I think that's why a lot of people keep pulling for him, so I hope he comes through in that fight. Will you be at that fight?
I don't think so, because it's at the D. It's at the D downtown, for those that's listening. It's at the D downtown in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I won't be there. But hopefully it'll be, like, on TV somewhere. But I know who is going, my homegirl Jessica. So hopefully she can give us an update, man, round by round.
And I was just looking up some of the people. And when you think about Zab and the Ring Wars that he's been in, I mean Mickey Ward. And you just go on to Costa Zu, who was a great fighter at his time. DeMarcus Chop Corley, Corey Sprinks twice, Floyd Mayweather, Edwin Vasquez, Miguel Cotto, Joshua Clady, Amir Khan, Danny Garcia, Lucas Matisse. I mean, this guy has fought some of the best, you know.
In the business. Either they was on in a serious prime, on a come up, or whatever the case. My man never ducked nobody. That's real. You know what I'm saying? He never ducked nobody, and he just took them all. And I don't know. He's like one of those fighters where you just, come on, Zab, you can do it. You know what I'm saying? So he got the city behind him. You know what I'm saying? He's doing his thing, man.
It's just the only thing at his age at this point, and he hasn't fought in 2.5 years.
Yep, because three fights that he's got canceled, man. Yep, so let's see what he got, bro. I think it's a Saturday, if I'm correct.
No, next Saturday, the 12th.
Next Saturday.
March 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw maybe you had put something up, and I couldn't find it. What's up with this Nicholas Walters Lomachenko?
Oh, yeah, man. So, you know, Bob Arum been basically talking about this fight has been rumored that it's close to signing. And so I go to Lomachenko Twitter, and he said it's time to fight. You know what I'm saying? There was some kind of cockiness a little bit. And so then I was like, okay, here we go. So let's see how he deals with power now. Somebody with real power.
So they haven't made a date for that fight because I didn't see anything. Did you? There's no date yet or?
The only thing I'm hearing right now is April.
Okay.
So that's what? 2 months? A month? Something like that? March, April? Next month, actually. Next month.
Wow.
So let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens. Who you got?
You know who I got. I ain't going to say that, but You know, you already know who I got. But more interestingly, I you know I'm going to bring this up. What did you think about Terrence Crawford and Hank Lundy last Saturday night?
That was crazy. That actually, it was a good fight. But, all right, this is my opinion. Terrence Crawford, I mean, not Terrence Crawford, Hank Lundy came out gunning. He called him
right.
clean, man. He called him good. Good and clean with the 1-2s and all that stuff. But then Terrence Crawford switched to southpaw within a couple seconds of the fight, which I thought was
right.
a bad move because he was getting caught. And so then, like, later on in the rounds, he started fighting tall, started using his reach more, which was absolutely smart.
That's right.
And then he just caught Lundy unguarded. He didn't have his guard up.
Right.
That was all she wrote. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And I was telling a previous caller that you would not believe the amount of fans that he had in New York City last Saturday night. It was almost like he was in Omaha, and it was crazy, man, to have he basically
wow.
had Cornhusker Nation in New York City. So
right.
it was
you know what I'm
crazy.
Saying? That sounds bad. I thought it was a good fight, but I think, especially when you're an undefeated fighter and a good boxer,
mm-hmm.
no competition is going to start getting real serious now because you got this target on your back.
Right, right.
Let's see what he'll do against Victor Postol. Let's see what he'll do against Ruslan.
Yeah, I got him beating Ruslan. The only thing with Ruslan, you know, if he has power. So if he gets caught, how will he react? Because if you remember back, what's his name? Caught him and stunned him a couple times. It's the Cuban
Mookie?
Kid. I forgot his name. Huh?
Gamboa.
Yeah.
Boriorcas
Gamboa. So that was another great fight. I think that was actually Terrence's toughest fight.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll look to see what's going to happen with that fight, but in the meantime, man, what you got coming? What you got planned? I know you said you got some other things in the summer, but in the near future, what's your plans? What you got going on?
I'm finna a couple more shows as far as radio. I got some interesting stuff I'm actually working on. I got some other stuff that's cooking up as far as entertainment is concerned. So be on the lookout for that, the Forex Act. You know what I'm saying? That's some music me and my homie, you know what I'm saying, John O' World working on. And we're about 80% done. So that'll be out. A lot of people don't know, like, I'm a MC, I'm a rapper, like, for real. I mean,
right.
I really does this, you know what I'm saying? But right now, I mean, I'm just doing it just for fun because I can. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And, that's about it, man. And I had to push the book back, you know what I'm saying, because the things I got going on. And
sure.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to see what's going on with, you know what I'm saying, chilling with Ching, with the 60-minute boxing at ACFR, man. We're going to put up these fights, man. That's
hey.
Kind of what I've been kind of researching about, man, like for real, like seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And
that would be a great
to pull these fights together, man. I need my cut.
Well, you know, I know, right? I know. Eric will have his first bouts coming up in the next couple months. He's going to be doing his show, one of his shows. So that's a good look for the guy on the Rocky Mountain area. So it's a good look for him. But yeah, hopefully we'll get together next month for Bradley Pacquiao, if everything goes right.
Right, exactly. That's something I really want to see this fight, not just because it's the last Pacquiao's fight, but I really want to see how the competition going to be with those guys, and I think all that technique stuff is going to go out the door.
Okay.
I really do. That's just how I feel about it. I just want to see how Pacquiao's going to, how he's going to come with his last fight. He's going to make it memorable, or he's going to get beat, or You know what I'm saying? It's a defining moment, I think. So.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a great card, though, and I really think it'll be a really good fight. I think this may be the potential to be the best of the three, considering both guys you know are going to come in fantastic shape, and I'm looking forward to that card. And we spoke about it earlier with Jesse Vargas and Manny Perez on the card, so it should be a good night of boxing. Hopefully everything goes well.
So shout out to Manny Perez, man. That fight might steal the show.
We were talking about that. We kind of in line with that, man. So, but yeah, man, I appreciate you coming through once again and sharing your thoughts and views on everything.
Showed up, man. And another thing I want to put out there is, you know what I'm saying, the Olympics, no headgear, you know what I'm saying? So I'm anticipating that right there, man. That's all I want to say, man. But make sure y'all support Cheese, my man, doing his thing. And, you know what I'm saying, he's a good dude. So make sure I keep supporting my man.
That's right. And then you can catch my man, Tone, XGFR. What's your Twitter handle again, man?
Tone the Bishop, man, all together. TONEPHABISHOP. That's all together. Just Google that, and you'll find me everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
You know you big time when you can just Google his name and it pops.
You know what I'm saying? Just hit me up. You know what I'm saying? You'll see everything that I got going on and the great work that I have done throughout, you know what I'm saying, this time being. And I just want to continue to do what I do and just trying to make a lot of things happen, man. So that's where it's at, bro.
My man, and you ain't said it in a while, but he's a Tyson Fury of this shit. So, yo, that is so one of the great lines of since I built a radio, man. That is a great line.
Straight up, man. You know, I mean, my Twitter been quiet, man. You know what I'm saying? Because when we had the round table and I was picking certain fighters, man, I just got 8 on my own show, though. But my Twitter been quiet, man, but I'm going to get it back popping.
I know, that's right. Yep. I appreciate you coming through, man. I really do.
So no problem, bro.
All right, take it easy. One.
All right, man. Peace.
Yeah, that was Tone out in Las Vegas. And, he does his thing. And, he's like one of the great Jamaicans. You know, great Jamaican people. We got like 17 jobs. So appreciate him coming through. He also at Caesar's Palace. He does this thing. So if you go through the nightclub, you can see him. He's in there doing his thing, you know, setting everybody up with the tables and everything. So he does his thing out there. So, yeah, man, really good dude. Look forward to hearing him call in again and give his perspective on different issues in and around boxing and entertainment itself. But, yeah, we're going to wind the show down. Got a text while he was on. You know, guys said they'll try to make the next show. And I understood that because I know they are in training. So look forward to having them again. But, yeah, I appreciate you guys hanging in with me. And, you know, hopefully I'll do a show next Thursday, and we'll have the guests on because I know they'll come through for me, so I'm not worried about that. But continue to support the brief blogs that I put up. I love your comments and emails. I really appreciate you guys, you know, looking out for me and supporting me. So, so my next Chilling with Cheese show, I'm Cheese, and I'm out.
It ain't for everybody. Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
Picture.
Coming with.
Let's not even talk about it.
Let's do it.
Go.
Uh-huh.
I see your jealousy as you watch me.
I see you watch me, baby.
You watch me.
It's all good.
It's kind of sexy.
I love it.
How you watching?
Uh-huh.
You watching.
Come on. Let's chop it up.
Tonight you're
gonna be a superstar, baby.
in the lobby of my high-rise. I behind my shades, cause the fame is blinding my eyes. My God, I know how I'd see eyes must have felt when he was eyes high. As I have got to make this stop. People often warn me that the fame ain't for the vain of heart. It'll change those since they had love for you into strangers. When your thing starts to change reaction, locomotion like when a train departs. Stranger, things have happened, rapping, stacking, platinum, plaquing. Born in Brooklyn, got a place in Manhattan. Going back to Brooklyn to escape the madness. Where your friends is Chris and Gwyneth, and your girl is more famous than you, Venice. Time to get all your windows tinted, keep your eyes squinting, it's on flash any minute. The music biz like musical chairs, about where you're standing when the music stops spinning. And I'm you're blinded by the
extra.
You need that. Now that you got what you want.